ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धवा टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। अत्रापि उदाहरन्ति इमं इतिहासं पुरातनं अवधूतस्य संवादं यदोर् अमित तेजसः। अत्रापि उदाहरन्ति इमं इतिहासं पुरातनं अवधूतस्य संवादं यदोर् अमित तेजसः। अत्रापि उदाहरन्ति इमं इतिहासं पुरातनं अवधूतस्य संवादं यदोर् अमित तेजसः। अत्रापि उदाहरन्ति इमं इतिहासं पुरातनं अवधूतस्य संवादं यदोरमित तेजसः। Trapi, in this very matter, Udaharanti, they cite as example, Imam, this, Itihasam, a historical narration, Puratanam, ancient, Avadhutasya, of a holy man, acting outside the scope of ordinary regulative principles. Samvadam, the conversation. Yadoho, and of King Yadu. Amita Tejasaha, whose power was unlimited. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this regard, sages cite a historical narration concerning the conversation between the greatly powerful King Yadu and an Avadhuta. Purport: Lord Krishna will narrate this story to show Uddhava how rational intelligence can be utilized in Bhakti Yoga to acquire Vedic knowledge, and how ultimately an intelligent person will come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the 7th chapter of the 11th canto, which is the beginning of the Uddhava Gita. And in this particular verse and the verse before this, the main theme which is being explained is how intelligence can be utilized to acquire Vedic knowledge, and how an intelligent person will come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the intelligence can be utilized to understand three things. One can appreciate using intelligence the miseries caused by material existence, and the intelligence can be used to evaluate, analyze and conclude that looks like this material world is a place of repeated suffering and all of our efforts are ultimately going to be destroyed. All our efforts will be futile. That is one of the first symptoms of intelligence. In the Uddhava Gita further, Uddhava, he is praying to Krishna, Tapatrena abhitasya ghore santapyamanasya bhavadvanisha pashyami nanyad sharanam tavangri dvandu atapatra amrita bhivarshat. Uddhava says, intelligent person comes to the conclusion that if I put my finger in the fire and it is causing me pain, it means the finger should not come in contact with the fire. I must exit from the fire. And therefore, samsara dava nallidha loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam. So pain is an inbuilt safety mechanism created to inspire the conditioned soul to come to this conclusion that there is something wrong here. I have to get out of this place of material existence. Prabhupada was on a morning walk and so many people were coming by and, you know, greeting Srila Prabhupada. Good morning, good morning. Prabhupada was also saying, good morning. And then Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, do you know what is the meaning of good morning? So of course, which meant that Prabhupada had his own purport. So devotees were, you know, looking at each other wondering what could be the esoteric purport to good morning. Prabhupada said, good morning means nothing horrible has happened yet. That is the material world. Tapatrena abhitasya ghore. So this word will be used repeatedly in Bhagavatam. Ghore. Right? Very, very intense heat, pain, misery, suffering. Santapya manasya bhavadvanisha pashyami na anyat. So therefore, through intelligence, we are able to conclude, Yes, the material world is filled with suffering. The intelligence can also be used. The second way the intelligence is used to appreciate that beyond this body, there is a spirit. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, basically Krishna is trying to help Arjuna infer that. So intelligence is used for inference, and inference can be a useful tool to come to the conclusion that there is a jiva beyond the body. And therefore, Dehi Nosmi Nyatha Dehe and all those verses explain that yes, I see, I observe, my body is changing continuously. My body has been transforming. But still when people come to me, they are calling me and addressing me as that same person. So I infer. So the intelligence can also be used to infer about the existence of the soul. Prabhupada was in a television interview. This was in a studio in America. And this person was asking Srila Prabhupada question. Like, what is your mission? And Prabhupada said, I have come here to explain to people the difference between body and soul. There's body and soul. What is the big deal about this? This is not the biggest issue in the world today. And then, Prabhupada asked him, okay, if you compare the two, which is more important? Car or the driver? The body is like the car, driver is like the soul. Who is more important, car or driver? And this interviewer, based on his own experience of life there, he said, car. Prabhupada said, how can car be more important? He said, yes, without car we cannot do anything. And then he went on explaining his frustration. So then Prabhupada understood that he didn't get the point. And Prabhupada kept pushing. Car or driver? Car or driver? By the time the interviewer also realized that, this person is not going to go beyond this. So he stopped the interview. He concluded, very amicably. And then he told, okay, thank you, Swami, for giving your time. Prabhupada said, no, interview is not yet over. Till you understand what is the difference between body and soul, we will continue the conversation. And cameras were off, lights were switched off, another half an hour Prabhupada continued. Till the person, he said, okay, now I understand. The soul is different from the body. So that inference that yes, the soul is different. The soul is a spiritual spark within. That also the intelligence helps to infer. The third thing which the intelligence is used is to appreciate that beyond the soul and beyond nature, there is a controller. The Antaryami, the Paramatma. So, within the cosmos, there is something driving. Within every atom, there is someone driving. So that power, that control is in the hands of Paramatma, whether you call it Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, whatever. But there is something moving, something controlling, something directing things within this world. So the intelligence can also be used to help infer the existence of a controller. And therefore knowledge means to help understand Prakriti, Jiva and the controller of both. And therefore searching for the identity of such a controller, the intelligence can thus be used to conclude that the goal of my life is to understand who is that and what to do with him. So till this stage, the intelligence is very, very useful to come to this conclusion that here is the personality who is the ultimate controller And the goal of my life is to connect with Him and have a relationship with Him. And that is called Sambandha Gyan. So therefore, the whole idea which Krishna is trying to drive here is, intelligence is absolutely critical, essential. Rational intelligence can be used to appreciate and understand the Sambandha Gyan and help us conclude that I must begin the Abhideya. I must begin the process of connecting with Krishna by practicing bhakti. And therefore, atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshana mutaya manvantara ishanukata nirodha mukti rashre. These are the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, which ends with ashray, shelter. And all the other 9 topics, the knowledge in those 9 topics which need to be understood with the intelligence is ultimately so that dashamasya vishuddhartham navanam eva lakshanam. All the other 9 and their details and their analysis and their churning is ultimately to inspire the conditioned soul to take shelter of the 10th topic of ashray of Krishna. Right? Varnayanti mahatmana shrutena arthena anjasa. And therefore, all these topics in the Bhagavatam, either direct, indirect or through allegories, it is to help the intelligence come to the conclusion, let me take shelter of Krishna and practice the process. That is the whole idea. And therefore, atovai kavayo nityam bhaktim paramayamuda vasudeve bhagavati kurvanti atma prasadanim. The intelligence is thus used to come to the conclusion that only when I engage in Vasudeva bhakti, then kurvanta atma prasadanim, the soul which is hankering for eternal peace and bliss, that can be satisfied. Otherwise there is no other method available. And so, Bhagavatam 2nd canto describes, tat shraddha dhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihiteya. So Jiva Goswami says, this verse defines the 2 important qualifications required to go back home, back to Godhead. One has to be shraddha dhana and munayoho. Munayo means thoughtful. Because many of us were so thoughtful, we could actually come to the stage of concluding that yes, let me prioritize my life around Krishna consciousness. That's an outcome of thoughtful deliberation. Munayoho. But once we come to that conclusion, shraddha dhana, along with being thoughtful, one also needs to be faithful. And therefore, the journey on the path of bhakti can only become successful by a combination of being thoughtful and faithful. And keeping a very healthy and balanced and harmonious combination between the two. And so here, at the Bhagavatam, right at the beginning, it is described, bhakti yoge na manasi samyak pranhite male apashat purusham purnam mayam chayat apashriyam. When Vyasadeva began writing the Bhagavatam, he could see through the process of bhakti yoga Krishna and Maya. Someone came and told Saraswati Thakur, yesterday at night I saw Krishna. Saraswati Thakur said, did you see Maya also? He said, no. So that means you didn't see Krishna. Because whoever sees Krishna will be able to immediately understand the difference between Krishna and Maya. So therefore, this intelligence is very, very successful in bringing us till a certain stage. And therefore, the process of bhakti as given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Varnam, Tvisha Akrishnam Sangha Panga Astra Parshadam Yajye Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasha. Sumedhasha means intelligent. Sumedhasha means smart. So this is the age of smartphone, smart card, right? Smart city, smart village. But ISKCON's mission is to create smart souls. So anyone who takes to the process of Krishna consciousness comes under the category of being smart soul. Everyone seems very happy saying that. So therefore, it's interesting that the word smart has an interesting etymology, origin. Initially, the word smart was used with the meaning of being painful. It was supposed to be painful, you know, smarting pain, as they say, painful. So, that was considered to be the original meaning, way back in, you know, 1100, 1200 AD. So I gave some lectures, so I had done some research for that. It was not for Bhagavatam class. So, then there is a term in English which is called homonym. Homonym means the same word, same letter, same pronunciation has different meanings. Right? So then over a period of time, the meaning of the term changed and it began to be used from the perspective of, you know, being very intelligent. So from painful it became thoughtful as an adjective. What a smart idea. And then somewhere along the line someone started using it with the perspective of looking beautiful also. What a smart kurta. What a smart attire. So beautiful. So the journey of the word itself has gone from being initially painful to thoughtful to beautiful. And that's how the journey of the conditioned soul in the material world must also become. That the journey of the soul in the material world is initially painful, and by coming in the association of devotees, gradually we should go on the platform of becoming thoughtful, and then when we experience Krishna consciousness, the experience is beautiful. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam has created this facility by which we can experience the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And so here we find that when Mahaprabhu is doing kirtan along with his associates, and then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is there with Prataprudra Maharaj, and Prataprudra Maharaj asks this question, what is this, you know, amazing kirtan going on? I have never seen such joy on anyone's face. I have never seen such effulgence. Surya Samashata Kanti Ujjvala Varan. I have never seen such power. And so Bhattacharya at that time says, Bhattacharya kohe e madhuro vachan, Chaitanyara srishti e prema sankirtan. This is a creation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called prema sankirtan. And then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he says that avatari chaitanya koila dharma pracharan, kali kale dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu has specifically appeared to give the dharma or the duty for the soul in the material world. And so what is that duty? Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. That means you take care of all other duties but do not forget the duty with respect to the soul, which is Krishna Nama Sankirtan. And therefore he says, Kalikale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Saito Sumedh Ar Kalihatajan. Again he uses the word that anyone in the age of Kali, if he focuses on all other duties very diligently, but forgets the duty with respect to his own soul. Kalikale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Saito Sumedh. He is intelligent. Ar Kali Hatajan. Others are influenced by Kali. And what is the influence of Kali? One will be overcome by all kinds of anxieties, stresses, difficulties, doubts. Prayana Kalpayash Sadhya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayohu Manda Bhagyahi Upadrita. Agitation. So how do you rise above the agitation of this age of Kali is through Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Saito Sumedha. And when we say Krishna Nama Sankirtan, it means that all of us come together and when we are chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This tumultuous, unified chanting of the holy names of Krishna, which we just did, we prioritized that at this moment, I will be chanting Krishna's names. And even though other thoughts may come or other activities I could do, but I keep aside those thoughts, those opinions, those priorities, those activities and decide to invest this moment in pleasing Krishna, in glorifying Krishna as against any other activity I could possibly do at this moment. And therefore, whether someone else is doing this, someone else is doing that, someone else is doing this, but I decide to go along with this association of devotees and glorify Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this is the meaning of Sankirtan. And the meaning of Sankirtan is this, that I decide to glorify Krishna along with all the other devotees. And therefore, if I compare myself with any other devotee, I can't see anything in common materially. In terms of external looks, in terms of food, in terms of speaking, in terms of other habits, likes, dislikes, this, that, two conditioned souls will be totally different from each other. So how is Sankirtan possible? And what is the whole idea of Sankirtan, where everyone comes together? The whole idea of Sankirtan is, although we are totally different from each other, still we come to the conclusion that yes, we have one thing in common. And what is that? We are suffering. How many agree? We are suffering in this material world. And therefore, we need help. Yes or no? And therefore, if we need help, we need to take shelter where the help can be provided. And the common platform which is created is when we come to the idea that yes, I am helplessly dependent. And since I am helplessly dependent, I do not prioritize any of my other unique attributes. And I do not compare myself with respect to others with respect to those attributes. All I see is, how can I be sheltered along with others at the lotus feet of Krishna? And that's the whole idea of Sankirtan. So Sumedha means when the house is on fire, each person is thinking, how we can come together and maximum number of people can get out. When the house is on fire and you have only 15 seconds to decide, that's not the time where you are checking who has the better shirt, who has the better smartphone. That is the time when you are focused only on one thing, the mission. And the mission is to go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna for eternity. So all kinds of other distractions are created when we are not focused on the mission. When the house is on fire, you can't be saying, hey, which lecture you heard latest? You are focused only on one thing. And therefore, this is a very interesting feature, that Sumedha means one who is intelligent, that when the house is on fire and he's sleeping on one side, he doesn't turn his back and go on the other side. Said maybe it will be cooler on this side. He gets up and runs out. That is Sumedhasya, one who is intelligent. So therefore, the intelligence helps the person get out of the current shelter which is on fire and take shelter of a place which is unbreakable, which is infallible, which can never catch fire, which is always cooling, and that is Krishna's lotus feet. So that Bhagavatam calls as Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Pada Moolam Na Munchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantha Swasharanam Yatha. That is the house which all of us are aspiring for. We are aspiring to go to that house. Pantha Swasharanam. It is just like coming back to your own home. The feeling of a weary traveler. After traveling long distance, he is looking forward. When can I come back? Like if, you know, in the morning or in the evening, 8:30 p.m. you are on a fast train from Churchgate towards Virar and you are being crushed in all directions. Right? One professor asked me this question in America. He said, oh, I couldn't catch a cab to go to a conference, so I had to jump into a train one day in the morning, 10 o'clock. I said, where were you going? He said, towards Churchgate. I understood what it meant. My God, so much of rush. People were crushing me from all sides. What do you guys get traveling in those trains? I said, free massage. You have to see the positive. So somehow the journey you go through, but as what gives the inspiration to the person to go through the journey? Swasharanam yatha. At the end of this painful journey, I'll come back to my home where I'll have my own space and relax. That is Sumedhasya. Now, the good news is intelligence helps us to make the right choice about where to go. But then there are also limits to this intelligence, and that's where the intelligence also ends. The limits of the intelligence end because beyond that, to get the grace of Krishna, one cannot get simply by using one's intelligence. And therefore Krishna's name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia are all beyond the comprehension of intelligence. Na vidyate yasena janma karma va na nama rupo guna dosha eva va tathapi loka paya sambhavaya. Vajendraji says that Krishna's janma, karma, nama, it is all beyond comprehension of intelligence. Apurnasya nija purtarthe cheshtah iti karma. What is karma? When you say karma, normal conditioned soul, what action? And he goes through reaction. But when you are referring to Krishna's leela, apurnasya nija purtarthe cheshta, when a person is apurna, incomplete, and he wants to complete that experience and he puts effort, that is called karma. That means we are incomplete, and if we want to complete something, you know, we need to put some effort. And when we put that effort, then that is called cheshtah. That effort then is known as karma. Karte cheshtah. So the conditioned soul has to put cheshtah. The Lord doesn't have to put cheshtah. He just thinks. By His will, everything gets manifested. So there is a big difference. And the soul cannot appreciate that with intelligence. And so the limits of intelligence end. And then the practice of bhakti begins in the association of devotees by taking shelter of the great souls, Krishna's devotees. And there the beginning of problems manifest. That if that intelligence is not used to focus on the practice of bhakti diligently, when one is not completely focused, that yes, I have used my intelligence to come till this stage of taking shelter of Krishna. Yes, I got out of the burning room and I came up to the door. And all I need to do is go through that door. But then standing there at the door, I turn around and start analyzing and start doing other things. So that doesn't mean that I will still be successful. And therefore, the interesting discussion which Jiva Goswami makes is that why do people with so much intelligence, sumedhasha, who have come to the conclusion that yes, bhakti is the ultimate goal, still, somehow they become misguided and their intelligence becomes clouded and then they start doing stupid things just when they are on the verge of getting out. And then Jiva Goswami gives the five effects of offenses. And because of these five effects of offenses, one's intelligence gets affected. And therefore, having made the right choice, still, one does not find himself outside the door. One still finds himself trapped. And so he says, the first symptom of offense is Kautilya or crookedness. And this symptom is actually expressed when, while practicing bhakti, the devotee externally offers respect to other devotees, but internally is disrespectful. So when we are internally disrespectful, but externally respectful, that is called Kautilya or crookedness. And in the Bhagavatam, Vidura, he analyzes this. Sa nirgata kaurava punya labdha gajavaya tirtha padah padani anvakramat chikirsha yorvayam adhishtito yani sahasramurte. So Vidura is described as sa nirgata kaurava punya labdha. Punya labdha means only when you have unlimited punya, you can become a minister. Vidura was the prime minister of Hastinapur. You cannot become a prime minister and be close to the king unless you have punya. You cannot be such an influential person in Hastinapur unless you have punya. So Vidura had lot of punya. But anvakramam chikirsha yorvayam, so he still punya chikirsha urvyam anvakramat. Still he decided to leave Hastinapur and go where? To holy places. For what? Punya chikirsha. To increase his piety. So Prabhupada is asking question in the purport. He is already pious. If you are so pious and thanks to your piety you have so much of influence, but why does he have to leave that place, and what kind of increase of piety is this? So he says that Vidura was very, very conscious of the fact that he had associated closely with Duryodhan. And one of the biggest problems with Duryodhan was many times he would not externally express his disrespect. And he would offer many times things to Krishna which appeared that he is respectful. But internally he was disrespectful. Why? Because he did not accept Krishna's devotees. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Vidura realized that because of associating closely with Duryodhan, who had this attitude of external show of respect, but internal skepticism and disrespect and envy. Therefore, I have got contaminated by his association. And because of that contamination, my spiritual piety has been temporarily covered over and I am not qualified directly to see Krishna in Dwarka. And therefore, Vidura could have directly left Hastinapur and gone to Dwarka. He had a direct relationship. But he felt, no, I need to be purified further so that I become qualified to see Krishna. He felt, because of my association with Duryodhan, who is crooked, I have also become crooked. I have also become duplicitous. I have also been influenced by this duplicity of being socially respectful, but being internally, truly disrespectful. And therefore, this is a symptom of an aparadha. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines aparadha as, radha means satisfaction. Aparadha means diminishing satisfaction. And the process of bhakti, which is supposed to bring in great satisfaction and joy, it actually does not increase satisfaction, but it decreases one's satisfaction and increases frustration within the heart. So therefore, Bhagavatam says, Stam sukharadhyam rijubhir ananya sharanain rabhir kratagya kono seveta duraradhyam asadubhi. That it is very easy to please Krishna. How? Sukharadhyam rijubhir, with a heart which is filled with gratitude. So therefore, this is the first principle which is described here, where Kautilya means externally one may be respectful, internally being disrespectful and I don't care. You know, I know better. What is the big deal? One of Prabhupada's disciples was in Vrindavan. And he was staying in Vrindavan for a long time. So Prabhupada told him, guys, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was sharing his story. Of course, it is not exactly like this kind of crookedness. But he said, I just got a thought that Prabhupada always carries this small white briefcase. And that small white briefcase has all of Prabhupada's special diary, items, everything kept inside. If only I could get that white suitcase as a Mahaprasad, it will be so nice. And forever it will be like a memory. But he thought, but how will I get it? Let me think of a trick. So he got a big suitcase. So he took the big suitcase and offered to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I have brought this as a gift for you. He was offering the gift, but what was in his mind? That Prabhupada will give him the white suitcase back. So Prabhupada said, please Prabhupada, you know, you don't seem to have a large enough suitcase. Please take this large suitcase. This will be very good for you. Prabhupada looked at it, opened the big suitcase, put the small white briefcase and closed it. And Prabhupada stood in front of the mirror and said, how do I look? And this devotee realized he has been tricked. And then Prabhupada went around the room once, carrying the suitcase, again stood in front of the mirror, looked at and said, how do I look? And then Prabhupada said, you want the white suitcase? Said, yeah. Be straightforward. Don't go like this, like this. So sometimes, you know, in our dealings, like if you see in the 10th canto, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj, when they are meeting together. So, Nanda Maharaj, he He just got the good news that Krishna is born. And Vasudeva wants to understand how is Krishna doing. But Vasudeva cannot directly say. So therefore Vasudeva says that praja. That how is your praja? At this advanced age, you got a praja. So he doesn't use the word son. Because if he uses the word son, it would be actually untruthful. Because he is known that Vasudeva has given birth to a son, and the Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya has given birth to a daughter, it has been exchanged. Right? Aprajasya. He says, aprajasya. Prajashaya nivrittasya. Prajatad samapadyata. Prajashaya nivrittasya. Prajatad samapadyata. Twice or thrice in that verse he uses the word praja. So praja means progeny. And it could mean either son or daughter. Whereas the same Vasudeva while dealing with Kamsa before, you know, he was a little diplomatic. And therefore, in dealings with devotee Nanda Maharaj, he was very, very technically correct. He did not want to play any chances. And therefore, Kautilya or crookedness is the first symptom. Second symptom, as given by Jiva Goswami, of aprad or offensive practice of bhakti is ashraddha or faithlessness. And faithlessness, ashraddha means after witnessing and hearing the glories of bhakti. After hearing and witnessing the glories of bhakti, still lack of conviction. And that lack of conviction in form of contrary ideas, especially it creates obstacles in the lives of the devotees. By seeing the obstacles in the lives of great devotees, we lose the conviction. Ashraddha is very important. So you hear Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit. You hear Chaitanya Charitamrita about all the acharyas. You hear all the long kathas, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour, 2 hour, whatever. And hearing those kathas, you feel, yes, bhakti, no other way. This is the only way. No other way, no other way, no other way. And then you are taking prasad. And one devotee sitting next to him says, next to you, like it actually happened, a boy got connected to Krishna consciousness. You know, he was not beginning to chant. So the devotee was preaching to him, telling him, you know, chant, chant, chant. I said, okay, no, I'll take my time, don't worry. So, you know, he gave the exam. He was chanting at that time 4 rounds. So he gave the exam, he passed. So devotee said, just see, you are chanting 4 rounds, you passed. Now you chant 16 rounds. What will happen? So he started 16 rounds. And then he continued studying. Next exam, something happened, he failed. So he got totally bewildered. With 4 rounds I passed, with 16 rounds I failed. So if you start analyzing based on intelligence, what does this mean? By increasing chanting, something happens. So Yudhishthira Maharaj tells Krishna, my dear Lord, in future, when conditioned souls hear about how the Pandavas went through suffering, they may become fearful of practicing bhakti at your lotus feet. Because they may think, if you take shelter of Krishna, this is what happens. Right? I was trying to give somebody prasadam and he was afraid to take. I said, hey Baba, Gita I have seen people are afraid. Mala I have seen they are afraid. Prasadam is the height. Prasadam everybody jumps on. Why you are... If I eat this, my hairstyle will become like yours. There is something which is mixed here. And then when you see the practice of bhakti in real life and you see, okay, there was some problem with employment, there was problem with business, there was problem somebody got diseased, untimely death, disaster, difficulty, then others start saying, I think you went to Krishna too soon. The problem is this. You went for solution. This is problem actually. And therefore, ashraddha is lack of conviction due to harboring contradictory ideas, especially by seeing obstacles in the lives of devotees. So the Shastra is perfect. Tasmat namna Vishnunatha iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagvato mahan. Bhagavatam describes how Parikshit Maharaj was protected in the womb by the Sudarshan Chakra. Yes, we believe in that. And then, suddenly Parikshit Maharaj is cursed to die in 7 days and 7 nights. And one is wondering, hey, what is this? Did he commit a mistake? Did he commit a crime? And sometimes, you know, devotees, they leave their bodies either in accidents or untimely way or this or that, and immediately the community of devotees start discussing, oh, was it due to this, was it due to that, and this and that, and so many thoughts come about which are symptomatic of ashraddha. Especially when we see obstacles in the lives of devotees. So therefore, in the Padma Puran it is described, Maha vipattav samsare yahasmaret madhusudana vipattav tasya sampatti bhavet ityah Shankara. When a person goes through great calamity in life, Maha vipattav, that calamity is to help him remember Krishna. And when he remembers Krishna, yasmaret Madhusudana, when he remembers Madhusudan, vipattau tasya sampatti, that vipatti becomes his sampatti. It brings him closer to Krishna. It becomes a method by which he connects with Krishna. So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the sixth canto purport, he says, from the material world to the spiritual world, there is a staircase which goes. Yes? How many of you are eager to climb that staircase? Revol. And now Chakravarti Pad says the second part. We'll see the response after that now. And he says, every step in that staircase is a disaster. I see a few people getting up. Okay, time for prasad. So, vipattav tasya sampatti. Can the vipatti become sampatti? So, Bhagavatam 10th canto Shukadeva Goswami, as he is seeing the rainy season, he says, Girayo varsha dharabhir hanya mana na vivyatu abhibhuya mana vyasana yatha adhokshaja chetasa. He says, when there is heavy rainfall, you can't even see the mountain. Mountain is covered by rainfall. So sometimes one may see devotees covered with problems, difficulties, challenges. And you may wonder, the chanting of Harinam is supposed to invoke seva or trouble. So is the mantra translation proper? Please engage me in your service. So he says, that rainfall, although it hits very hard on the top of the mountain peaks, what does it do? Cleanses the mountain peak. Abhibhuyamana vyasanai yatha adhokshaja chetasa. And therefore a devotee thinks of Krishna, you know, with more conviction and with more faith. So that's a very beautiful point here described, that Rajar tuchya seva dekhi prabhur tushtaman seto paila rahasya darshan. Mahaprabhu tested Prataprudra Maharaj, and all the devotees are wondering, why Prataprudra Maharaj is being denied? Why is being put in so much of difficulty? But the difference was they had full faith. Mahaprabhu has his own plans. Sakshatena deya dekha parokshita daya ke bujhite pare chaitanya chandrir maya. And therefore Mahaprabhu gradually, trickle by trickle, drop by drop, he started releasing his mercy to Prataputra Maharaj after it appeared that it's a dam and the mercy is not going to flow. But he actually introduced Prataputra Maharaj to his internal pastimes. And Prataputra Maharaj could see Mahaprabhu dancing in all the different groups. So therefore, this is a very, very important point, that when we hear in the Shastra and then what we see in real life seems to bewilder us. So what we should do? We should go back to the Shastra. It's not that we become doubtful about the Shastra. When we go back to the Shastra and see the purports, then you will see in the Tika of the Acharyas, this context has been properly explained. And therefore, in the purport, to sarvam kalakratam manye bhavatam cha priyam sapaloyat vashe loko vayor iva ghanavali. When Bhishmadev sees the Pandavas, he's overwhelmed and he's saying, oh, you went through so much of suffering. You know, it's all by the time factor. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, one may expect that a pious man will never go through suffering. One may expect, if I am doing piety, I must be happy. Piety gives bliss. That may be one's conception. Yes, maybe to a certain extent. But one cannot take it as a rule, as a law. And therefore, Prabhupada says that one should not grudge the time factor, even though one may see a pious man is going through suffering. One must not be bewildered by the tricks of time. And therefore, it's very important for us to be in contact with these literatures. And that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir brakodara krishnostri gandivam chapam suhrat krishnas tato vipat. Although the Pandavas had all the power, Yudhishthir Maharaj represented the power of piety. Bhima represent the power of strength. Arjuna represent the power of skill. Nakul and Sahadeva represented the power of loyalty. Krishna represented the power of being the greatest well-wisher. Having all of these powers, the Pandavas were constantly being overwhelmed. And it appeared that they were being defeated. So the Pandavas were defeated in many occasions, but they did not accept defeat within their heart. And they were constantly fighting to please Krishna. So therefore, this is a very important point of Ashraddha. Means when we see contrary experiences, we may start losing faith in the words of the Shastras. Prabhupada was in a program in Aligarh. There's a famous lock, tiger lock company, and the owner of that. Prabhupada was giving a talk. And then, you know, at that time, this was in the 70s, there was like slogan being raised everywhere. Kam adhik bate kam. So Prabhupada took that theme, because he could never predict what theme he would take. So Prabhupada started saying that, you know, in the Sarkar, government is saying kam adhik bate kam. I am saying kam kam bate adhik. Everyone couldn't understand. So Prabhupada meant, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, you also give time to hear and chant my glories. So he went on speaking about the importance of Gita, that everything is there, but along with that, if you are not following the Gita, then what is the point? So Prabhupada kept on saying, kam kam bhati adhik, kam kam bhati adhik. So the host came and whispered in Prabhupada's ear that, Swamiji, yahan pe mantri ji bhi baithe hain. So Prabhupada in the mic said, kahan hai wo? Then he said, Swamiji, main yahan hu. Prabhupada said, well, Krishna is saying in Gita, Satatam kirtayantomam. Krishna is saying, yad karoshyad asnasyad juhosyad dasyad. So therefore, based on that, I am saying, kam kam bat yadik. What do you say? He says, aap sahi keh rahe hain, Swamiji. And then Prabhupada said, just see, he is also accepting. So Prabhupada, he was trying to really hit home this point. Yes, nobody is denying that you perform all your duties. But when you say all your duties, do not do other duties and forget the duty of the soul. So if you forget that, then there is a big issue. And therefore, ashraddha basically means events may happen in life which may make us minimize our conviction in the duty of the soul. The duty of the soul towards Krishna by serving and pleasing Him. The third kind of symptom of offense is described by Jiva Goswami as Bhagavan Nishtha Chavaka Vastu Antara Abhinivesha. So this is a little complex. The Sanskrit is complex, but the meaning is very simple. Bhagavan Nishtha, faith in the Lord. Chavaka means when it is eroded. Vastu Antara Abhinivesha. And the symptom is, we show absorption in objects that erode the faith in Lord. Vastu antara abhinivesha. So we show faith, we show absorption in other objects which erode our faith in Krishna. Best example, Bharat Maharaj. Now we are not coming to smartphone now. Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj got attached to the deer. And by being attached to that deer, gradually his faith in Krishna went away. He stopped giving attention and time to the Bhagavad Bhajan. And even during that time, his mind was filled with other thoughts. So therefore here it is described that there are three examples of why sometimes the Lord may do this. First is for someone who is impure or he needs to be further purified, some prarabdha karma may be active, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj. And so Bharat Maharaj had to deal with that deer. And that absorption in the deer distracted him. That absorption in that object eroded his faith in the process. So whatever we are attracted to or absorbed in, is it increasing our faith in Krishna consciousness or eroding our faith? And then of course, he gives the example of also Narad Muni, that Lord disappeared from Narad Muni's sight to increase his hankering. Right? That's a different case altogether. To increase his hankering, suddenly he disappeared. But in the case of Bharat Maharaj, it happened, which shows that yes, if we become absorbed in other things, then gradually that distraction may ultimately lead us totally away from Krishna. Then the fourth principle Jiva Goswami mentions is Bhakti Shaithilya. Bhakti Shaithilya is technically defined as when our efforts at practice of devotional service becomes slackened. Slackened means we become more focused on the happiness and distress related to our body, happiness and distress of other souls, or we become too much focused on, you know, other things, happiness and distress and things like that. So therefore, the slackening of bhakti happens due to this. So this is a very, very important point, that as we are practicing bhakti, Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu, that one must be balanced in all of one's activities of ahara, vihara, sapna, right from beginning. And so it may happen that at a certain point, because we are not experiencing reciprocation from Krishna, we have to invest our energy somewhere and we may start thinking that, oh, I need to take care of this more, I need to take care of that more. And so, one's focus on bhakti becomes slackened, or it is called shaithilya. A very important point to appreciate. So the whole idea is, Krishna consciousness is a lifelong process and we need to be focused on that. And the focus may be distracted due to changing of our priorities. And that change in priority happens because we are not experiencing the taste in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was in Kolkata and he told the devotees in Mumbai and Kolkata, we should have the life membership program. And they began the life membership program. And Prabhupada was at somebody's house and the host offered them prasadam, and Prabhupada started honoring prasad. Devotees were honoring prasad. And the host was saying, please take more, please take more. And the devotees took more, more, more. And Prabhupada was sitting right next and he was wondering what's going on. And this devotee went on eating more and more. And when they came back to the temple, this devotee held his hand on the stomach and shouted, Prabhupada, my stomach is aching. Prabhupada said, naturally, you ate 25 puris. So he said, Prabhupada, how do you know? Prabhupada, I was counting. And then another brahmachari was sitting right next. He started laughing loudly. Prabhupada said, you don't laugh, you ate 15. And then Prabhupada said, we have started this program not to focus on prasad. We have started this program so that we can connect with different people and give them understanding of Krishna consciousness. So in due course of time, you have to make sure that you focus on the dealings and make sure that the person's faith in Krishna consciousness grows. You are there to give, not to take. So there are many objects and things and people in this material world with whom we may interact and connect. Initially, with the objective and the motive of giving Krishna consciousness. That may be the initial intent, but we have to be introspective whether the flow is going this way or this way. And before you know, you will start focusing on other things. So that is that slackens bhakti, called bhakti shaithilya. And so Raghunath Das Goswami is glorified by Nityananda Prabhu, Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Ye Janapai Brahma Lok Adi Sukha Tare Nahi Bhai. One who is continuously smelling the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna, one who can smell the saffron dust particles strewn around Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna Pada Padma Gandha, that fragrance is intoxicating, that fragrance is overwhelming. Brahma Loka Adi Sukha Tare Nahi Bhai. Then he will not be affected even by the pleasure of Brahma Loka. And therefore, it is described, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Charane Chintiya Pata Chhadi Upapate Yaya Nidhaya. And as Raghunath Das Goswami was running towards Mahaprabhu, he was continuously remembering the lotus feet of Chaitanya and Nityananda. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that Raghunath Das Goswami was so focused that Shudha Nahi Badhe Chaitanya Charana Praptye Man, that he was not affected by any kind of hunger or thirst. Samasta Divasa Gaman, complete day he was fasting. Kshudha Nahi Badhe, and the hunger did not create any kind of obstacle. Why? Chaitanya Charana Praptye Man. His mind was focused on attaining Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And therefore, many times, when we lose that focus, then we start focusing on other things, and then the bhakti slackens. So the distraction from the core process of devotional service creates this offensive mentality, and that offense manifests in the form of bhakti shaithilya, slackening of bhakti. And the fifth kind of symptom, as Jiva Goswami explains, is called bhaktyadi kritabhi manitvam. Bhaktyadi kritabhi manitvam. Sanskrit is a beautiful language. Even if something negative is mentioned, it sounds attractive. Bhakti kritabhi manitvam. Which means that I am puffed up. So that sounds heavy in English. Bhaktya, bhakti, bhaktya, bhaktyadi. By practice of bhakti and associated activities in bhakti, krita abhimanitvam, one starts thinking, I am great. So pride from executing of devotion, which results in the attitude of further disrespecting devotees. So that pride is like a vicious circle, and it results in further disrespect. And that's a very important point. And so the example of this is Daksha Prajapati. And Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva, and then that did not get counteract, so he offended further Narad Muni also. And then he became very disrespectful towards him. And so therefore, we have to be extremely careful that we should not allow these thoughts to creep up. Right? Pravishta karnarandrena swanam bhava saroruham. The heart is like a lotus, and the process of Krishna consciousness helps it bloom. Salilasya yathasharat pravishta karnarandrena. The hearing and chanting makes that lotus bloom. And then dhautatma, that purified soul, does not want to give up Krishna's lotus feet at all in any kind of situation. And so Parikshit Maharaj says, Name samaparayanti brahman anashanad. I just want to sit and hear the glories of Krishna. That although he has been cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights, his mind is not filled with offensive thoughts. Why Krishna did this to me? Why this happened? Why Shamik Rishi had to do like this? Can't he control his son? What is the big deal? I have given so much donation to so many brahmanas. One, you know, small thing, why can't they adjust? No, he immediately accepted that. So one devotee, you know, she was cooking in the kitchen, and Prabhupada's servant came to her and said that I gave Prabhupada kachori, and Prabhupada said he will not take the kachori today, he will take it tomorrow. So I am keeping the kachori here in the kitchen. Please take care of it. She said, Hare, you are keeping kachori in the open in an ISKCON prasadam hall and kitchen. There is no chance. He says, no, I want you to take care. He said, hey, come on, don't give me this responsibility. I'm busy. He said, no, you have to. And he went. Next day he came. Prabhupada is asking for the kachori. This lady was cooking. She said, well, why are you asking me? I told you not to keep it. I told you to take care. Why you didn't take care? And there was an argument which began. And then finally, she was so busy cooking, she wanted to end it. She said, you go and tell Prabhupada. Cat must have eaten the kachori. So she forgot about it. So the servant went up, came back. She said, what did Prabhupada say? And the servant said, Prabhupada said, whoever is saying that cat has eaten, they have eaten the kachori. So she got bewildered. Who? Prabhupada is saying, I am eating the kachori? How can he say like this? I have not eaten. I have dedicated my life to Krishna. I am doing service selflessly. I don't even like kachori. How can this kind of, you know, comment be made? I cannot tolerate this. I cannot accept it. And all kinds of, the whirlwind began in the mind. Then suddenly she thought, okay, Prabhupada said, whoever saying, you know, cat has eaten, they have eaten. But actually what Prabhupada wants is the kachori. So I should take care. So she controlled her emotions, went to another kitchen, prepared some kachori, gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada ate 6 or 7. And Prabhupada said, this was better than yesterday's. So while engaged in seva, you know, sometimes one may experience challenges, difficulties. Guru Kripa Swami, who collected so much of money for Vrindavan temple, you see his name also. So then he started maybe getting some thought, okay, this temple is being built thanks to what we are doing. And so Prabhupada detected that in the middle of the night, Prabhupada sent his servant, woke him up. Servant woke him up, Prabhupada is calling. He woke up, saw the time, 1 o'clock. Calling me at 1 o'clock? He came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, any seva? Prabhupada said, Guru Kripa, what were you doing? What were you doing? He said, Prabhupada, sleeping. Prabhupada said, sleeping? Why were you sleeping? It's night, 1 o'clock. I am sleeping. Prabhupada said, it is 1 o'clock for me also. I am not sleeping. Why are you sleeping? So he was getting more and more bewildered. Already 1 o'clock at night, middle of sleep, and then Prabhupada is questioning. He said, Prabhupada, I am tired. I have worked hard all day. Prabhupada said, you don't think I worked hard all day? I also worked hard all day, but I am not sleeping. I am sitting and translating. Why are you not doing? So he said, Prabhupada, I am not a Paramahamsa like you. I am fallen. Prabhupada said, why are you fallen? Why are you not a Paramahamsa? So, he had a short circuit. He folded his hand and said, Prabhupada, please tell me what I should do. Prabhupada said, go and go to sleep. So he realized, okay, there is a message here. Prabhupada just said, go to sleep. So he realized, yes, probably I am thinking I am the doer. And so, bhaktyadi kratabhi manatvam means not to think that I am in any way, shape or form taking credit for this. And this pride from execution of devotion creates further offense. So these 5 offenses, Kautilya, crookedness, ashraddha, faithlessness, the 3rd being absorption in objects that erode the faith, which is distraction, bhakti shaithilya, the slackness in devotional service, and the pride while executing devotional service. These cloud the intelligence of the sumedhasha. These cloud the intelligence of those who are most intelligent, who have come to the conclusion that yes, I must actually practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Saraswati Thakur used to say, Jnanavalambaka kechit kechit karmavalambaka vayam tu haridasanam padatrana avalambaka. To avoid this mentality, let me not take shelter of jnana, let me not take shelter of karma, let me not take shelter of yoga. Let me take shelter of the footwear of the Vaishnavas, so that I am always aware that I have to be a humble servant of the devotees. And it is a very, very difficult challenge to maintain that consciousness in the long run. But that is possible simply by the grace of the association of devotees. And therefore here in this particular section, Uddhava is speaking to Krishna, please help me understand this knowledge. And Krishna begins by explaining how the intelligence can be used to infer about the misery of material existence, the presence of the jiva within, and the presence of the antaryami. But beyond that, one needs the grace of the Vaishnavas before the spiritual intelligence is awakened, by which one can appreciate and understand the glories of Krishna's name, fame, form and pastimes, which is only revealed by His divine grace. And in that process, we have to be very, very attentive. So therefore, Jiva Goswami says, if we have to go back home, back to Godhead, we need to be both thoughtful and faithful. And he also says, we have to be attentive in two things. Attentive in our chanting and attentive in our dealings. So attention in chanting, attention in dealings, being thoughtful and faithful, this process will gradually reveal Krishna's glories and we will achieve the ultimate goal of life, Krishna Prema. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.